We're in a series called Recover, and a big part of being able to recover is learning to be able to do something new. In fact, some would say that to have something new, you have to be able to do something new. And God never wastes a hurt. So regardless of what you're going through and how it happened and how pain comes into our lives, every hurt is an opportunity for growth. It doesn't matter. Jesus can turn every opportunity, can help everything turn into some way of growing. And his problem is convincing people that he loves them. And there's so many people that feel like you have to work to please God. And you have to work to get God to help you. It's very difficult when you believe that you have to work to get God's help, or you have to work to please God, to see him as someone that's going to help you recover. In fact, it's the big idea this weekend. You can look in your notes. There's a big difference between legalism and love. And here's what legalism is. Legalism is when I believe that the work that I do for God is more important than the work that God does for me. And we're going to look at a story in the Bible today when Jesus helps some people understand the difference between legalism and love. And so let me read it to you. Look in your notes. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wineskin into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins." Now, these Pharisees, they're the leaders of this very legalistic Jewish religion. And so they teach everybody that you have to work really, really hard to please God. You have to work really hard to have God want to help you in life. And they want everybody to live like that. So they believe everybody should live within this idea of legalism. And they have a very difficult time with grace. Grace is such a hard concept for them. How do you do with God's grace? Being able to receive something from God and you haven't done anything to earn it. That's such a difficult time with that. And if someone came up to you today and they said, "Hey, listen, I'm going to pay your rent or your mortgage from now on. I'm going to take care of it. You don't have to worry about it at all. It's on me. From now on, I'm paying your rent." And initially you're like, "Dang, that's awesome. I mean, this is going to be great. I don't have to pay rent anymore? Wow, man, this is great." And then you have this little thought, like, "Well, what if they don't pay it on time? I'll get a penalty. What if they don't know the right amount to pay? What if they flake out and they forget to pay?" And all of a sudden your joy starts to turn to doubt. And before you know it, you're like, "I'd rather pay it myself. Because then I'll know it gets done. Then I'll know I control the outcome of what happens." So the question is, how do you do with God's grace when you don't get to control the outcome? And you don't get to earn anything? And the Pharisees and legalism have such a hard time with that. And they're so into image. The Pharisees, they believed the most important thing was how you presented yourself to other people and what they thought about you. And so they're so into what their image is with other people, and they I can please other people when they think the right things about me. And their image is the most important thing to them. They work really, really hard to make certain that their image is right with other people. And it's always difficult when image is the most important thing to me, because it'll always lead to hypocrisy. I mean, you know how difficult it is when's the last time you met somebody and they raged against something, and they were totally against something, and then it comes out later that they were secretly doing it too. And the Pharisees, they're all about, what does their image look like? and they're working really hard on that. And so they're completely alarmed and appalled when Jesus hangs out with these tax collectors and these sinners. Now, the tax collectors, they're the worst of the worst because they're the people that have betrayed their religion. I mean, they're so far away. I mean, they've stopped going to church. They don't read their Bible anymore. I mean, they actually help the Romans. They collect taxes for the enemy, for the Romans. I mean, they're clear on the, completely on the other side. They've totally left the church. And there's nobody that's looked down upon by the Pharisees more than the tax collectors because they have betrayed their religion. And these sinners, now these are the people that are struggling. I mean, they go to church once in a while, but they're really not nearly as concerned with their image as they should be. And so the Pharisees have marked them as sinners. They're like, those are the people that you don't want to be like. Don't let your family turn out like those people. And they've marked them. Those are the sinners. And I wanted to ask the question, has anybody ever marked you? I remember when I was in high school, there was a girl that was a couple years older than me and my classmates, and this story started to circulate that like there had been this really wild promiscuous evening, and she was involved in this night, and somehow the story got around our school, and it was like she got marked, and whenever you saw her and you thought about her, you thought about this thing that everybody said had happened, and you didn't know if it had happened or not, but it was like there was a mark on her. And I remember several years later, our paths crossed, and I got to know her. And I remember sitting with her one evening, just talking with her, and you could tell how devastating that mark had been throughout her life. And we didn't even talk about what portion that happened was true or not true. And the amazing thing is it didn't even matter. What mattered is she had been marked. And the Pharisees, they marked people. Because in legalism, you hand out marks. And you mark people so you can make sure that, you know, where everybody stands. And, oh, I only have two marks, but that guy has five marks. I'm better than that guy. And oh, no, what do I have to do? And here's what you need to know. Jesus actually came to erase the marks. So if you came today and somebody's marked you, or maybe you think God marked you, or maybe you've marked yourself, he actually came. Because we collect so many marks, he actually came to erase the marks in our lives. And what legalism does is it continues to hand them out and keep track of them, and everybody is kept in line because if you just, oh boy, if you don't work really hard, you're going to get a mark on you. And so they're so alarmed because Jesus is actually hanging out with the people that have all the marks. And he's hanging out with the ones that betrayed their religion, and they're just totally crazy, and they can't understand it because it never occurs to them. Like, why would Jesus hang out with the people that they don't work hard to please God at all, and they don't work hard to make the people in the church happy with them, and they're the people that we've marked. I mean, why would he hang out with these? And they can't understand it, and it never occurs to them that the reason he's with them is because he loves them. It never even occurs to him. And do you know that the first thing legalism robs me of is my ability to know that God loves me? And the second thing it robs me of is my ability to see how much God loves others. I mean, they see this thing going on, and they're like, what in the world? Why would Jesus be with them? And it never even occurs to them. Well, it's because Jesus loves them. That's why he's with them. And, you know, he tries to get this straight. Some people come in and they ask Jesus, they ask him about fasting, but what they really want to know is what's the difference between legalism and love? What's the difference between working really, really hard to please God or love? And so let's break it down into three different questions. The first one is, how do we know what God's love looks like? How do we know what God's love looks like? And, you know, they want to know, well, I don't understand because, you know, your disciples aren't following all the rules. Like, why do your people not have to follow the rules? You know, everybody else is following the rules, and they come and they say, we don't understand. You know, it's like, why don't you make your people follow all of the rules? And, by the way, the Pharisees had completely ruined the sacrament of fasting. I mean, if you want to see the difference, like the huge gap between God's love and the legalism of the Pharisees, God asked people to fast one time a year in the Old Testament. One time of the year, there was this like this big time when everybody fasted. So once a year, you fasted. Now, I don't know if you've ever gone without food. I have no idea why they call it fasting, because it's one of the slowest things ever when you're not eating. But anyways, you know, it's like, but one time a year. Now, the Pharisees, here's what they had done. They decided that everyone should fast Monday and Thursday of every week. So now God in his love says fast once a year. Legalism says fast 104 times a year. And that's a big difference. I mean, and they completely ruin it because people are like, that's hard to fast that much and I don't know if it's working, and so everybody's confused. And Jesus is like, well, we're not doing that. That's not necessary. It's confusing for people. And it is confusing when you've been raised in legalism and it promises you if you follow all the rules and keep all the laws that you'll feel really, really close to God, and then you don't. You just feel hungry. And so they come to Jesus, and these are normal people, by the way. These aren't the Pharisees. These are the people that are watching. They're trying to decide, should we join up with him? I mean, it looks good. And of course, you have the Pharisees over on the sidelines, and they're saying, don't you do it. If you leave this church, God will leave you, and so will we. And so people are really confused, you know, and they go to Jesus and say, how come your people don't follow the rules? And they completely ruined this, you know. I mean, there's a big difference between 104 times and one time. Big difference. And trying to figure out what God's love looks like. And it does seem like it always, like maybe in this story, it catches it at a time that we're not really sure, because they may have been watching this dinner happen. It might have happened on the Monday or the Thursday, and they're watching all these people have this big, huge, cool banquet, and they're with Jesus, and they're telling stories and laughing, and everybody's hanging out, and they're watching this thing, and they're not eating, they're hungry. And if you ever had this happen, it's like, if I have to suffer, I want other people to suffer. As they're watching this thing and they're going, well, how come they get to eat and have such a good time? And we're not getting to do any of these type of things. And I don't know why it is, I believe, but if I have to follow the rules, I want other people to follow the rules. If I have to suffer and go without things, they have to suffer and go without things. I don't know why I would think that if I make you stop eating, it's going to make me less hungry. But have you ever done that to anybody? You know, you can do it to your children, or you can do it at work. It's like, no, if I have to suffer, they have to suffer. If I don't get to go on vacation, if I have to work late, and that's what's happening here. They're like, this isn't fair. And the Pharisees, they are people that are pretty angry. And legalism will always breed anger. Because they're like, we're keeping all these rules, and it's really not working. And now we're watching all kinds of other people get to do stuff, and we're not getting to do it. And then there's the whole effort that it takes to keep your image up. When you're already angry because you're missing out on stuff. And, you know, if I don't keep my image up, then people at work or people at church or people in my family are going to reject me and they're not going to like me. So there's a lot of people that just really, 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 like, always have their guard up. They always have their guard up. And they're searching for some place that they can let their guard down. And I'm hoping it will be us. That will be the place. East Lake can be the place that people understand they can come here and they don't have to keep their guard up. I'm hoping that's the word that you can get out there. This is the place you can come. You don't have to keep your guard up. We all agree that we need Jesus. And so there's no need to put up a front. You don't have to put that effort into it. And it is confusing when you follow someone and they present a certain image, and then it's later discovered that they were secretly doing the same thing. And it's so confusing. Because you're like, what the heck? And so that's our story. That's what's going on here. You know, and they're really mad about it. And to try to figure out in all of this thing that's going on, you know, all of a sudden Jesus starts, he starts talking about sowing. And Lucas, the second thing in your outline is, what change are you most worried about? I mean, Jesus starts talking about sowing, and he starts talking about this patch in this hole. And here's really what he's saying. He's saying that in life, sometimes you just can't patch it up. I mean, the Pharisees, because they were so committed to their image, like whenever there would be a hole, they just put a patch over it. But here's the truth. Sometimes in life, you can't just cover things up. You can't just put a patch on it. You need something new. Something has to change. And the question is, what change are you most worried about? And when they come to talk to him, the first thing Jesus does is he starts to say, you know, it's not that the laws that you're keeping aren't necessary to please God. And I was looking at this week at some crazy laws that are still on the books, things that at some point seemed relevant. And listen to these. These are some state laws that are, these are still laws that should be followed. In Ohio, it's unlawful for a woman to appear in public while unshaven. This includes legs and face. Oklahoma, the great state of Oklahoma, it's illegal to have a sleeping donkey in your bathtub after 7 p.m. Yes. So I'm sure we need that one. In Baltimore, it's illegal to take a lion to the movies because he will eat all the snacks. Okay, so that's an important law. In Iowa, check this one out. Kisses may last for as much as, but no longer than 5 minutes. So you can have a 5-minute kiss in Iowa, but no longer than that. So all the teenagers, out of luck. West Virginia, no children may attend school with their breath smelling of wild onions. And it's illegal to put an ice cream cone in your pocket on Sundays. These are laws still going on. Now, we have some in Utah. I'm not going to lay them all out for you because it would embarrass all of us, but I'll give you two of them right here. Utah, no one may walk down the street carrying a paper bag containing a violin. You feel safer? I mean, that's a great law. Now, here's one. This is an old law, and it's still on the books. Women may not swear. So there should be another law. Women should not get married because marriage is normally what makes them swear, of which I have no firsthand knowledge of. But I do want to say, here's what Jesus, I'm not going to make my people follow a bunch of silly laws that don't work. And he starts talking to them about sowing. And what he's really talking about is change. He's saying, love changes things, legalism doesn't. And here's why. Legalism will always resist change. And love will always support change. Because a legalist, the person that's working so hard, they go before God and go, this isn't fair that you're changing things. I've worked so hard. I've kept all the rules. I've kept all the laws. Everybody's supposed to be pleased with me. I've worked. And it's not fair that you're changing things. But the person that knows God loves them understands, even when they don't know where the change is going, they know that at the end of the day, it'll be for their benefit. My friend Mike Meeks, we saw him on screen last week. He's a lead pastor in San Diego. His brother Ray came and joined our staff a few years ago. Ray's older than Mike. And it was a big day for Mike because he loves his brother. And it's me too. I've known Ray for years. And so it was great for Ray's there, you know. It was so really cool. And we all thought, and Ray's older. And he's a pretty old guy. So we thought, gosh, Ray's here now. And this is what God's going to do in his life, the rest of his life, you know. Ray calls me last week. He says, hey, Robin, I want to tell you before everything gets out and the bombshell hits. I'm leaving the staff at Eastlake. I'm moving to Northern California. And I'm joining a church launch up there. And I'm going on staff for no salary. And I'm like, I need to talk you off the ledge, you crackpot. I mean, he's like, yeah, I'm leaving. And he has a great salary at Eastlake and a super good job. And his brother's there. And, you know, their wives are great friends. And he sees all the kids. And, I mean, it's just awesome. And as Ray's talking to me, I'm starting to get worried for Ray. Like, he's getting older. He may not be thinking so straight, you know. It's like, have you talked to Mike about this, you know? And he starts telling me what he's going to do. You know, no, I'm leaving my comfortable staff position and all of my money, and I'm moving completely to a different state. And in my mind, I'm worried and thinking he's stupid. And then it flashes my mind like, oh, I did that too. I better not lecture him. But anyways, you know, and so it's like, and I'm thinking, Ray. And then he said this to me. He said, Robin, I have never felt closer to Jesus in my whole walk with him. He said, I am so excited for what God's going to do in my life and how he's going to use me. And all of a sudden, I noticed something. At one moment, I was worried about Ray. And the next moment, Ray was inspiring me. See, legalism will always make you worry. Every change that comes will frighten you and make you worry. But love will inspire you. Now here's Ray going off to do this church launch, and I'm talking to him on the phone, and I'm like, man, you know what? Good for you, Ray. And as Jesus is like talking to these people, he uses this analogy, and he uses it. He says it's these wineskins. Now on that day, they didn't put wine in bottles. They didn't have bottles, so they made these skins out of leather, and they put the wine inside there, and that's how they stored them. Now the problem was if you had new wine, it had to go in flexible leather, because if you put new wine in an old, hard, rigid leather, it would cause it to explode because the wine would ferment. And it would expand, and it would just explode. It would just break the leather because it was inflexible. And you know that legalism is like really rigid, and you can see it in families. If you raise children in a very legalistic environment, at some point when they want to do something new, the family just explodes. The parents just explode. How dare you do this to the family? And they just explode because a new thing. And Jesus says to him, he says, listen now. He says, I want to give you new wine. But if I give you new wine, you have to allow me to cause your heart to be flexible. Legalism will cause you to be rigid. Love will cause you to flex. And you kind of get the disappointment, like in Jesus is talking to them, because he's saying, I want you to have new wine. And do you know there's a big difference between someone being disappointed in you and someone being disappointed for you? Now listen, with your friends and your family, a lot of them are running around because they think that God is disappointed in them, and he's not. In fact, Jesus isn't disappointed with you. But he might be disappointed for you because you're missing new wine. Here's how it shows up in everyday life. I can't make a change, so I don't develop my people skills, so I get passed over the promotion. And it's disappointing for God. My family's all jacked up because I never learned to forgive and work out conflict, and so I don't get to be with my family hardly ever. When I do, it's strained. And it's disappointing for God. I don't get picked to be the manager because I never developed the ability to even show up on time for work. And so God is disappointed for me because I don't get the new wine. What change is happening in your life and it's scaring you? It's causing you to worry? Because you've got sort of a legal system that you go about. If I do these things, those things will happen. And Jesus says to him, he says, listen, I want to put new wine in, but here's the thing. Oftentimes when he brings change into our life, we start to explode. God, how could you put me through this? I don't deserve to go through this. This isn't fair. You change things immediately or I'm gone. And we explode. What would you do? He's got to back off from the new wine. Because it just turns into an explosion. What change are you afraid of? And all God is saying right now is, I want to love you. I'm not disappointed in you. I'm disappointed you're missing the new wine. Now the third question is, what old way will not work anymore? These old wineskins. I was raised by my grandfather, and he was very particular to make certain that I was against any form of prejudice. So all my life, he raised me with really one really important factor. We're in this family, we're not prejudiced. And he did it by he did it by telling a story. When he was in high school, he was raised on the East Coast in Pennsylvania, and he was on the baseball team. And in his school, they had one student that was black, just one. And that student played on the baseball team. And they were traveling south of Pennsylvania, and they went into a town. And when they got in there, the whole team got together, and they went into a restaurant, and they sat down. And after they were there for just a few minutes, the owner of the restaurant came up, and he whispered something in the coach's ear, and then he turned around and left. And so the coach stood up at the end of this long table where all the team was, and he says, "Boys, the owner's come and told me that all of us are welcome here to eat tonight, except for Brian. Brian's not welcome." And then he just sat down. And my grandfather said that everybody was just stunned. And of course, this kid, Brian, is just mortified. And then he said, he watched and how everybody started to lean over and say something. And then the whole team started whispering to each other. And then finally, they all stood up. And they went around the table, and they were in a group, and they walked up to the coach, and they said, "Coach, if Brian doesn't get to eat here, we're not eating here either. Even if we don't get dinner tonight, we're not eating in this restaurant unless Brian gets to." And you know what? The owner didn't budge. So they all left. And it does say in this scripture that you pour wine. And wouldn't it be nice if you could just pour growth into yourself? But the truth is, it just drips. One opportunity after another. The opportunity came from my grandfather. Here it comes. Here's the opportunity. Will it pass or not? And they seized it. And it changed his life. And he raised me a certain way, and I raised my sons a certain way. Because when the opportunity went by, what opportunity might God want to use right now? And here it is. I mean, you're in it. Right now, you know you're in it. And you'll have to decide the old way isn't going to work any longer. All those boys, they had to say, "No. No, we're not doing it the old way anymore. It's going to have to be a new way." What opportunity is just about to pass? And it's not, though, if you'll just... And you know the biggest problem with hypocrisy and legalism is it doesn't let me be honest about who I am. Can we just put the truth out there just for a moment? On the timeline of sin in the very beginning, sin is a lot of fun. And it's very enjoyable. And there's normally tons of physical and emotional pleasure in it. And in legalism, you never get to face that or admit that. The truth is that for a time, sin is a lot of fun for a while. Here's how I always look at it. It's like if you're on a 50-story building and you just jumped off the ledge, man. And you're just soaring in the air, doing somersaults, and you're flying along, you're just soaring, and you go past the 40th floor, and someone says, "How's it going?" You're like, "Man, this rocks, you know, I'm soaring, I'm doing good," you know, you're just flying around. The 30th floor is like, "What's up?" And "I'm what's up, baby," you know, you're just sailing. And then at the 5th floor, somebody says, "How's the fall going?" And you look down, and you go, "Not good." Because, hey, let's face it, sin is fun. At first, the church has the dumbest message. Christianity is like, they should just say it. It's going to be fun for a while. Get the message out to your children. Be honest with your children. Say, "Sin, that's the danger of it, actually. It's a lot of fun at first until splat." How do I know? Because I've splatted. Do you know when I first became a Christian, what I always thought would happen? Someday I'm going to become so mature that none of this sin is going to tempt me anymore. It isn't going to seem fun. And then I realized later, not. Do you know what maturity is? It's turning to Jesus faster. "God, don't let me walk in the building. God, stop me. I'm going towards the elevator. God, stop. Help me, God. I'm on the roof, God, again. Help me." You know, that... maturity is turning to Jesus. "I'm in the air, catch me." Maturity is turning to Jesus faster. And the problem with hypocrisy is I can't admit that. I just, I can't admit to myself that here's what I've decided. I've had to admit to myself that there's some things that I want to do really bad that I know are wrong. And that's the truth. They look fun. They were fun last time. And I need Jesus faster. And that's what he's trying to tell these people. He said, legalism will never stop that. You can't work hard enough. You'll need God's love. And when the opportunity comes, that's the opportunity to change and grow. And it's the good news in your notes. Jesus wants us to have something new and better. He pours new wine into new wineskins. He's not offering legalism, he's offering love. It's very confusing for these people. It was very confusing for these cities and this nation. It was very, very confusing when Jesus came because everybody had been raised in this very legalistic environment where you had to work for everything. You had to work to please God, and you had to work to please the people in the church. And I mean, all the families lived that way. This is the culture that Jesus came to, and it's everywhere. And then he comes and he starts talking about love, and they're sort of like, can we even trust this? And so if you, like, and the people are wondering, can we really do this? And the Pharisees are on the sidelines saying, you better not, man, because if you do, God will leave you and the church will leave you too. And that's what's going on here. And Jesus is saying this, legalism doesn't work, love does. Who do you know that needs to hear that? Who do you wish was sitting next to you today? And they just could have heard a portion of it, just to hear that. How deeply do they need to hear God isn't disappointed in you? See, part of being at Eastlake is understanding that, man, there's a lot of people watching Jesus and wondering, really? I lived in California outside of San Francisco the last time they had that big earthquake and the fires that came after it, which was nothing like the very, very first one. I mean, that, like, the one they had and, like, burned the town down, and they talked about it a lot during that time. And there was this story that had emerged that what people did during that really bad San Francisco earthquake when all the fires broke out is the only thing they knew to do was to try to get down to the beach, like get down as close as they could to the water. And so people, no matter where they were in the city, they did whatever they could to get down there. And so there was a pretty good mass of people that were collecting there. And as the ones that arrived, they'd watch some of the others that were finally getting there. And they saw this one guy. And this one guy is like jumping over debris and running through fire and zigzagging through the street. He's trying to get down to the safety where they think the water is. And he's just running. And he finally gets like all the way there. And he just dives out into the sand and just lands right before the water. And he just lays there. And everybody's looking at him. And they're like, wow, you know. So, and he's motionless. And finally a group comes over, you know. And they kind of come around him. And at first it was pretty faint, and then it got more and more, and then he starts sobbing. I mean, he's just bawling his eyes out. And so this one lady comes out from amongst the crowd, and she comes over and she kneels down and she puts her hand on his shoulder and she says, "It's okay. You made it. You're safe now." And he looked up and he said, "I forgot somebody. I got so focused on making it myself, I forgot them." And I did want to say that don't forget anybody. Who do you know that needs to hear? Legalism doesn't work. Love does. And so grab your connection card if you would. There's some things on the back that we can fill out. I'll ask Jesus to show me the difference between legalism and love. And I understand that it's confusing. And we read a story today about some people that were very, very confused as they watched Jesus. And so Jesus himself has to help us make the distinctions. And then the second, I will ask Jesus to show me my opportunity for growth, just to highlight it for you. And then I'm committing my life to Jesus for the first time, and I'm recommitting my life to Jesus. Never be afraid to mark that. My first 3 or 4 months in Christianity, I got saved every weekend. Every weekend, you know, the church I was in, they would ask, does anyone want to pray and give their life to Jesus today? And I said, man, I better do it again, just in case it didn't take last time. So, I mean, don't be afraid to do that. I mean, if you came today, you may have been a Christian 15 years, and you're like, I'm recommitting again today, Jesus. That's okay. And then prayer requests, you can write some things in there. And I always love to have your help. I'm glad you're here today again. Thanks for being here. I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to sing one more worship song. We receive our giving at the end of the service and your connection cards. And so let's say a prayer. Jesus, it's always amazing to read about you and be with you at the same time. You're the author of the book. You're who the book is about, and you're with us as we read the book. So we weren't talking about a dead person in history today. We were talking about history with someone that's still alive. And you're still convincing people that there's a difference between legalism and love. So I pray for us today that we could first start in our own heart, and we could be honest about who we are, and you would show us where have we given in to the idea that what we do for you is more important than what you do for us. Maybe we were raised in that thinking, or we caught it somehow. But help us have an opening of honesty, to be honest with ourselves. And then, Jesus, we humble ourselves before you and say, would you give us the ability to know how much you love us? So we don't have to worry about changes, and we can do something new and better. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.